We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to your premier destination for game stacks, the Roto Underworld Stack Fest, brought to you by Player Profiler on rotogrinders.com. Take that for the mouthful that I didn't screw up this time for the first time in 14 weeks, but it is week 14. It is, I've talked about this on a couple of different shows, where I like to think about this as like a second wave of chaos in the NFL. I mean, we saw it last night. If anybody watched the Thursday night football game, the former Super Bowl champion Rams are playing with Baker Mayfield, who had just recently got released, who marches the field and basically ends the Raiders season because they don't throw the ball. You know, it's just we've reached the point now where we think we know a lot, but we kind of really are back to not knowing as much as we think as teams really start to go in opposite directions. Teams shut it down. Teams are playing for their lives. Injuries are all over the place. It's kind of a fun time. You know, it can be tiring. You get to week 7, 8, 9, 10 of the DFS season, and I start to get a little reinvigorated at this point in the season because there is a lot more new things to talk about than people probably expect. If you follow any of us, any of the three of us, you are probably also focusing in on your season-long playoffs, which is the last week to try to get into those, your best ball playoffs. So it's a really fun time to be digging into fantasy. And I found, I don't know about you guys, week 14 is tough. This week, we were talking before the show, the best game of the week was flexed to Sunday night. I don't even hate the Monday night game for fantasy, and the main slate does not have a lot of appealing things. So I'm excited to talk to you guys to uncover some of these games. Matt was bringing up again before the show, a game we're going to have to uncover something similar to this that was totally off the radar a few weeks ago, Bengals-Steelers, that we really honed in on as a game to shoot way over the total that nobody was looking at for tournaments, for game stacks, and it was an absolute stone-cold smash. And so I think this week, the crux is, how do we find that game? That's the kind of game we're going to have to find again this week because there's not a lot really standing out on this slate. Dario, how are you feeling about week 14?
Good. Yeah, like you said, it's pretty thin and there's a lot of low totals this week. I think there's two games on the main slate with totals under 40. So just a lot of gross happening.
I saw one 37.5.
And the only reason the Broncos game isn't down in the, you know, mid-30s is because they're playing the Chiefs. Otherwise, we'd probably have a lot, you know, if it was Broncos, Raiders or something, we'd have another 30-point total. But
with a starting wide receiver, Kendall Hinton.
I don't even know who is the third wide receiver for the. Are they even going to play one? I mean, oh my God, the Broncos are such a mess. You, who would have thunk we got to week 14 with all these horrible games and Broncos Chiefs is amongst the bottom of the, you know, near the bottom of the list. It's just absolutely crazy. But anyway, Dario, continue.
Yeah, it's funny because I was thinking about that when the intro was rolling for the little Roto Grinders music, and one of the pictures was like Russell Wilson celebrating a touchdown, and I was like, oh man, how the mighty have fallen. But yeah, I think
get up to that graphic, guys. Let's get the motion graphics people in on this. By the way, did you happen to have that game? By the way, just looking back in time, back in the time machine, did you have Bengals Steelers? Did you have any money on that, Derek?
Yes, we did. Oh God, this is both simultaneously. It was an exciting game to hit on that game. Stacked it up. Main slate, afternoon slate, everything. Two things happen. This is the epitome of DFS. You nail the stack that nobody's playing, right? Absolutely no one's playing that game. 67 total points. The total was like 43 or something like that.
Something dumb.
And everybody is not playing it. Najee Harris, who of course he was the Joe Mixon of that week.
Yeah,
right. I'm Xing that guy out, and he scores two touchdowns. Yeah. And then even then, it was still going great. Joe Burrow's crushed, T. Higgins crushed, etc. And George Pickens, who had a good game, had like 80 yards and a touchdown. On the last play of the Steelers drive, or one of the last plays of the game, he breaks wide open down the sideline. Pickett puts it right on him, right in the hands, drops it. That would have been, you know, that would have been 7 for 140 and two touchdowns or whatever. Oh. And instead he scores 20 points, which was great. 20 points, you know, for like 5K is great.
Hey, but 4X'd like, it. You could have.
Yeah, but like 38 sounds better. 38 sounds a little better.
Oh, I would have hit the bonus. Oh, don't get me. Oh, it's not even. Why are
we were close.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, man. I'm sorry to relive.
At least we're
that.
Starting out on a positive note. Thanks, Matt. Really appreciate
no,
it.
No, it's interesting that for some reason that Vegas doesn't think that this is a shootout. Browns Bengals. I couldn't figure it out. So I pulled up my weather app. I use the dark sky weather app. So I typed in Cincinnati, Ohio. Guys, Cincinnati, Ohio on Sunday. 50 degrees and partly cloudy. Okay. So it's not football a weather issue. There's no issues. It's perfect football weather. It's like you couldn't have drawn it up better. You have Deshaun Watson having a second game back, having, you know, now he's reacclimated to the league. I mean, 46.5, hell out of here.
So should we start with that game, Dario? Is that sound all right for you? Because I think it's actually pretty fascinating to talk through. Let's start with the Browns side. Deshaun Watson was horrible last week. There's really no other way to put it. He was bad in the preseason. He was outside of Kyle Allen, you know, from a success rate or any sort of metric you would like to put. Deshaun Watson was the worst quarterback in the league, and Kyle Allen was the worst and on the other side of that game and got re-benched for Davis Mills. He was bad, but do you how are you assessing that in terms of this game? You know, can he get it back? Can he be, he doesn't obviously have to become old Deshaun Watson for this game to shoot out and be good for tournaments. But like, we do need a requisite level, right? He needs to just be Jacoby Brissett. They almost should just put Jacoby Brissett back in. He needs to just be that level of competent, right? Because his incompetence killed Nick Chubb. So did the defensive touchdowns, but he sunk everything about that offense. Can he be good enough to allow Nick Chubb to get back to being as good as he was, Amari Cooper to get back to being as good as he was, our boy DPJ, David Njoku is back. There's appealing guys mainly as bringbacks on the other side of Joe Burrow, but a lot of it does hinge on Deshaun Watson being good enough to support them.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, very much an unprecedented situation. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh yeah, like I know for a fact that he's going to be good now after getting all that out of his system in the first game. I mean, every part of me wants him to suck for the next 5 years so the Browns can eat it for giving him that contract. But I mean, that's not real football analysis, unfortunately. I do think, though, the Cincinnati defense is a lot better than the Texans defense, which is kind of concerning from that front. Like, if he couldn't get anything going against the Texans, like the Bengals, who have a pretty solid secondary and a very well-coached defense, like, they've beaten Mahomes 3 games in a row. That's crazy. So I think that is not an element that, you know, lends itself to Deshaun Watson, you know, suddenly finding his groove against this defense.
What do you think, Matt?
It is interesting, right? Vegas is out on Deshaun Watson. They think he's dust. Based on the game total, that's all I can imply, right? You're talking about, you know, implied points. Well, the implication is that he's terrible. He's dust. It's over. He might as well retire. I don't know why he's even playing, right? Except
couple hundred million,
career.
Couple hundred million reasons.
Yeah, and the $500 million after you know, compounded interest, right, in 20 years. Hey, it's Deshaun Watson, and I've seen him feather in deep balls to Will Fuller on a loop for a number of years, and I'm going to go ahead and let that sample be the sample that guides me here, guides me to the over, guides me to these stacks, stacking this game, and just getting excited about DPJ, getting excited about Amari Cooper. And then when everybody looks up and is like, oh, yeah, I guess he had a bad first game, and like a lot of quarterbacks, he struggled in preseason or, you know, wasn't totally sharp in preseason like a lot of people aren't. And then he finally got into a groove and he is what we thought he was, or at least what the Browns thought he was when they, you know, signed him for the big contract. That's probably what's going to happen if we just absolve ourselves of all the emotion and all the victory lapping about him as a person and getting, you know, abused himself by the Texans. It was just a beautiful thing to watch. I get it. but we're trying to make money. And if you want to make money, you got to do the dirty stuff. And that means firing up Deshaun Watson at value. The guy can also run for 50 yards and a touchdown as well as being the best deep ball passer in the NFL before he went away. And now he's got one of the best route runners in Amari Cooper. And one of the signature size speed specimens on the outside in Donovan Peoples-Jones. I'm in.
Who returned a punt for a touchdown, by the way, last week. DPJ. And Njoku being one of the bigger specimens at the tight end position. And he is back, and I believe totally off the injury.
Oh, man.
One fascinating thing you mentioned, that the total. So I went back and looked at two things. The total of the Browns game last week against the Texans, and it was around 46. So
that's what they're saying.
In his
they're
first
saying
game,
he's Kyle Allen.
Yeah, they basically are saying, you know, the market is saying, we saw that one game from Deshaun Watson, and that's what it is. Because now the Texans, obviously, as Dario outlined, are a fairly different matchup from the Bengals, but they expected that game, whether it be a lot more Browns scoring and some Texans pushback, to get to a fairly similar level of this one. And this has the Bengals are hot, man. Joe Burrow is feeling it. They've made some nice shifts that Dario outlined a while back before I faded Joe Mixon when he went for 5 touchdowns about how they made some shifts into the shotgun. The offense has just been cooking ever since then.
Have
Jamar
you seen
Chase,
the sack numbers?
They look incredible.
The sack number chart is like...
It's funny how you get your quarterback back there where he can see everything and diagnose everything, and he gets sacked less. Some
NFL
teams.
Give your offensive linemen a chance to coalesce.
Yes.
They're new guys. They, you know, in the heat of the moment when the plays are happening at full speed, because they rarely happen at full speed with full pads in practice, takes them a few weeks to figure out assignments in the heat of the battle. Now they have that. It was a massive interior offensive line upgrade. Massive. Right? Bringing in Kappa, bringing in essentially, okay, give me Belichick's guy and Brady's guy. Let's bring him in. It was the solution to the problem that we knew an NFL team had this offseason. And it's all working. It's all clicking. And it does take a few weeks for both Vegas and the public to get all this figured out and all this out of their system. So that's when we strike.
I really, really, really like the Bengals side. I do. Let's talk about the Bengals side. We can kind of, as we talk them through, it can drive us to maybe some of these Browns where we can hone in a little bit on how we want to attack that Browns side. because with Ja'Marr Chase back and with all these adjustments with the offensive line upgrades, the Bengals just look like unreal, almost unstoppable on offense. Dario, how do you want to go about though? Joe Mixon is back. Chase is back. Tyler Boyd is apparently just stone dust, but like, how do we go about thinking Hayden Hurst is out, correct? So that's one.
Yeah, I think I saw he was doubtful. So I, you know, that means out. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that, what is it, Mitchell Wilcox is going to be a thing that we'll discuss here for DFS. Oh. So maybe that removes one potential piece. But how are you kind of thinking about the Bengals first and foremost? Because I do think they're the predominant side here.
Yeah, I think when any team faces the Browns, like, that team's running back is a conversation you have to have. And obviously, Joe Mixon is coming back from his concussion. We know that coming back from a concussion, not nearly as concerning as, you know, a hamstring, a calf, an ankle, whatever it may be. But he is projected for 22% ownership right now, which is pretty steep. I think my gut is, you know, go a little bit below that, but we've said that about Mixon before. So it's kind of,
God damn it. We're bringing up all my PTSD here on this show in the first,
well, you know what
minutes.
Can stop Mixon, right? You know what can stop Mixon? The Browns getting out to a lead.
Well, how do the Browns get out to a lead? I think they got a pretty good running back.
If their quarterback isn't dust.
I think, you know, as disgusting as it is to say it, I think you're probably right that we're the world is collectively underestimating the probability of that outcome right now, that like Deshaun Watson could, like, there's a good chance that he is that player that, you know, we knew him to be in Houston. So he comes back.
Quick question. Sorry to interrupt, Dario. You guys ever play football?
A little bit.
Every now and then.
Play some football?
Maybe tweak my hamstring at a turkey bowl with some friends, but we'll keep that.
Yeah. Yeah. You ever played with a guy that hadn't played football in a little while? Okay. A
couple times.
Was he actually terrible, or what happened?
Not in this way that a few guys, you know, would blow out their knee and try to come back and be a little bit of a shell of themselves. This was you know, I'm almost 35.
Have you ever seen rusty guys? Listen, game knows game. Okay. The guy's good. And you don't just forget how to throw a spiral, right? I'm thinking of my uncle. Okay. I'm thinking about my uncle who's, you know, who hasn't thrown a football in years. And guess what? When I throw it to him and he played high school quarterback, and I go deep, guess where the ball is?
Right here.
Right here. Hasn't thrown a football in 2 years. Where's the ball? Right here. Okay, Uncle Joe. Okay, so this is the Uncle Joe principle. Let's go.
I do think something to piggyback on that a little bit is I hope Deshaun's a little better than your Uncle Joe, but if they can simplify things a little bit, because I think it's a lot of the mental aspect of things, right? I'm not trying to get in all super crazy hand in the dirt or hand in the brain or whatever the hell you want to call it. But like the difficult aspect of coming back of basically not playing for 2 years is reading defenses at light speed, right? You know, the thing, you know, like the interception he threw at the goal line was terrible. And it was just like a bad read. You know, sometimes you don't see, I mean, Tom Brady didn't see whoever it was the other night, you know, a linebacker dropping into coverage. That happens to the good players. Now think about it when you don't read NFL defenses, you know, at game speed for 2 years. So it's going to come. I don't really doubt that he'll be fine eventually. When is that going to happen? I don't know. But I think the Browns are the appropriate situation to continue to gradually allow him to get back up to speed. And I don't think they did that super well. I think they put a little bit too much on his back in that first game. And maybe that made sense against the Texans. It was like, really, who cares? They suck. We're going to win. It doesn't matter. Let's see how Deshaun looks. But I think in a game with the Bengals, using that running game, right? How did they win games with Baker Mayfield for so long? How have they won games with Jacoby Brissett? How did they win games with what was it, like Case Keenum back in the day? It's because they have two freaking stud running backs with a beastly offensive line that allowed the quarterback to work through play action, short down and distance, God forbid, use his legs a little bit. I don't think they used his legs nearly enough last week. I think that they'll figure it out too. It's not just Deshaun. It's the team doesn't know how to use him. He's never played for them before. That was the first time he's basically played for them, you know, outside of a few practices here and there.
He did run seven times.
Right. It was
good. It's good. That was good to me. That was the under the radar stat. No one thought, hey, seven rush attempts. It could have been three.
Yeah, I agree. I do think he was scrambling, which is like both good and bad. It's like part of it. Maybe he wasn't reading the defense, but the other thing is he's willing to run. He's willing to use the one thing that we know that he has is the legs, is the one thing. Despite the time off, whatever, he's an athlete. And so if he can use that and they can use the run game to help set him up and all that, right? That's kind of the backwards way we always talk about it, you know, with analytics and stuff nowadays and pass rate over expectation. But I think that they're a really unique situation. And I do think that if they can, as a team, figure out the best way to use him in the short term as he continues to get up to speed, they can be successful. And they're going to have to be, because the Bengals are going to score some points.
Mm-hmm. It could just be garbage time, too. It could be.
Yeah, 100%.
He could be... just finally in garbage time with nothing left to play for, or knowing they're out of it, they leave him in there, the pressure's off, and he finally lets it loose. Who knows?
It's been so long. It's been so long. That's what he used to do. You remember for fantasy?
That's what I'm thinking.
That's what he did. Fourth quarter bombs to Hopkins and Will Fuller and all. He's running around like a madman, you know, in the backfield. It wasn't like design plays. All those deep balls were because he scrambled around on the Texans and they were down by 14 points in the fourth quarter. I'm not saying he's prepared to do that right now, but it's possible that he's going to have to try on Sunday, which means really good things for fantasy, probably for him, but also for Amari Cooper, Donovan Peoples-Jones, et cetera. I do want to talk about the Bengals, though. We kind of pivoted a little bit because Deshaun's a very polarizing thing to talk
about. Sorry, we just keep talking. I know.
But Dario,
I will say,
back to the Bengals.
Well, one last thing on the subject of Watson. Like, I think his play style, his play style is a lot like Justin Fields before Justin Fields came into the league. Like, if you think about how long he holds the ball, his tendency to just like run around like crazy in the backfield before unleashing one, and also just the scramble drill. So I think that for the upside we've seen from Fields this season, like there's definitely, you know, we know that Deshaun Watson was doing that before Justin Fields came to the NFL.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, I mean, Tyler Boyd, I will say we would be talking about him very differently if he hadn't dropped that touchdown last week. So I that's one of those situations where I think you kind of want to like maybe try to forget that a little bit and say, look, he's still got that red zone target right now. He's projecting to be the lowest owned of the trio of receivers for Joe Burrow by a mile. And also the cheapest, obviously he's only 5,000 on DraftKings. So I think you kind of still want to mix him into your stacks. He makes a lot more available with the rest of your lineup than double stacking Chase and Higgins. So I think mixing in some, you know, Chase and Boyd, Higgins and Boyd makes a lot of sense with your Burrow stacks.
I think this is a great week for Chase and Boyd. I know you think, oh, it's Denzel Ward. Oh, he's a tough matchup. No, he's not. Denzel Ward hasn't been good this year. Denzel Ward is currently ranked number 38 on the player profiler cornerback rankings, courtesy of Cody Carpentier. And he has an even coverage rating. So we look at separation against, we look at pass breakups and fantasy points per target allowed, and he's right there, right? He's league average in coverage rating on playerprofiler.com. So Denzel Ward is a perfectly acceptable matchup for Jamar Chase. Someone named Emerson is the other guy. Martin Emerson is his name. I hadn't really heard of him. But
sounds like a hockey goalie. Sounds like a hockey goalie.
Not really an NFL name, is it?
No.
Golfer, hockey, something like that. You know, goalie for some Premier League team in soccer. Anyway, not a football player. He's outside the top 50 in our cornerback ranking. So the outside corners are the weakness. The inside corner, Greg Newsome, that's their strength. And if you look at Greg Newsome's slot rate the last, you know, few weeks, I mean, it's been 94, 74, 79. He's almost always lining up in the slot, and that's going to be Tyler Boyd. So if there was a week where I would say this actually doesn't feel like a Tyler Boyd week, I'm not scared of Tyler Boyd, it would be this week. Focus on those outside wide receivers with Burrow. Run it back with our customary Donovan Peoples-Jones, also Amari Cooper. This tees up nice for Amari Cooper, too, because we know Owuzie's out. Now it's Eli Apple and Mike Hilton and Trey Flowers. This is perfect, right? This is what you're looking for. This was the same argument we had for George Pickens when he was a drop touchdown away from being like the millionaire maker winning wide receiver. Mm-hmm. So let's go. Let's go with this game, fellas. Let's go.
Do you draw any, either of you draw anything away from the fact that Deshaun threw 22 times last week and Amari had 9 of those targets? He did do, like, I'm not saying it, 2 years ago, I'm not trying to draw these parallels, but it's just an easy way to communicate it. You know, Will Fuller was the DPJ where, like, you know, Will Fuller, when DeAndre Hopkins played, was never getting the huge target share, but he catching, you know, 60-yard touchdowns. Hopkins was just racking up targets and catches. So it feels like that is kind of how it's one game. It's 22 attempts. That's what it feels
forget
like.
Forget it, man. Why are you bringing this up? This is old news, right? this is really like stale analysis. I can't believe you're in. That's analysis from last week. Those parallels are from last week. Deshaun Watson stunk last week. He's not good anymore. Ew.
What do you think, Dario? We have to point out that Amari Cooper popped up on the injury report, didn't practice today. He apparently hurt his hip in practice yesterday. So that's like not a great look for Amari. I think that's probably one that there will be a lot of reports coming in on. We'll have to keep an eye on over the weekend. But that potentially means nuclear DPJ and some interest in David Bell probably becomes the other receiver in two receiver sets. And David Bell's been showing some encouraging signs of life lately. You know, we talk about rookies and the second half down the stretch breakout. I think that he's someone, especially if Amari Cooper does end up missing this game, I think he's someone that you're going to want to have in your portfolio.
Bell, punt play, wide receiver. God, this game has something for everybody, man.
That is probably what is the most fascinating thing to me about it is I feel, you know, not to be overconfident in the Bengals side, but frankly, that without Hayden Hurst, it's just 3 wide receivers. Joe Mixon is back, and you know, you sprinkle in some Joe Mixon because he does have a good matchup, and then obviously Joe Burrow. But it's, you know, it's fairly straightforward when you're constructing a portfolio of teams. On the Brown side, you kind of have all these puzzle pieces that you can use. And we've talked a lot about the pass game and Deshaun, but I also don't think you should totally write off either of the running backs. I think we outlined the game script that, like Dario mentioned, the market and the whole DFS world, similar to what happened last night with the Rams beating the Raiders with Baker Mayfield and Ben Skowronek and Tutu Atwell, you know, and no Aaron Donald and beating the Raiders that no one thought could happen. People are building showdown lineups with 5 Raiders and 1 Ram, even though the spread was only 6.5. In this game, no one is saying, well, what happens if the Browns just have success here to start? Mm-hmm. And that could be Nick Chubb. We're talking a lot about Deshaun, but that could easily be Nick Chubb as well.
And I was talking about the Bengals defense. They're actually 26th in rush EPA allowed. So teams are having success against them on the ground as opposed to through the air where they're top 10. So I think if the Browns are to succeed in this game, it's going to be with Chubb, at least for some portion of it, and then maybe using Deshaun Watson off of that.
And I think people are, you know, we talked a lot about Deshaun Watson, but I think people are, the Deshaun Watson negative sentiment is leaking down into Chubb. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God, how could Chubb have had such a bad game against the Texans? But it's like, they never had the ball on offense either. Chubb didn't have a great game, only had 80 yards, no scores. But like, they scored 3 special teams and 2 defensive touchdowns. They never had the ball either. So we really didn't get to see what would have happened in a more of a normal game. And I don't suspect Joe Burrow is going to turn it over 3 times.
This is crazy, dude.
And I think
this is so crazy what's happened. This is like the recency bias wet dream of my life. that this is what's happening. Like, I can't even believe it. I can't even, I can't believe that given all the reasons why you could just throw that game away and forget it happened, that it, the opposite is happening. That it's like now, like, defined Deshaun Watson and this team.
Yeah.
I think before the outlier game that was. Forget it. Pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah, I agree.
Compelling argument.
I think it's fair to say, you know, if we were creating projections, I don't create the projections, obviously, but our team is creating projections. You guys are creating projections. If we're not taking the 3 years ago Deshaun Watson as our expectation for the offense, but we're also not taking last week. And I think the public is taking last week as this is the truth. And so that's kind of the big sentiment this week. And so that spills down to all of these Browns players, right? I am much more interested in Joe Burrow as a DFS play for myself personally, especially on DraftKings. I mean, it's a $600 price difference. I'm not saying you can't play Deshaun Watson, but I'm saying, maybe I'm falling in love also with the recency bias, but I think the recency bias of the Bengals is an extended period of them being great. And now Jamar Chase is back and Joe Mixon is back and the offensive line is awesome, as we outlined before. So I lean a little bit more heavily to that side from a stacking perspective, but I think all these bringbacks are awesome. Like, dude, Deshaun used to have games where Jordan Akins would score. Remember, like, we'd have like Jordan Akins big games and stuff. Like, Njoku, no one's playing David Njoku. No one's playing Donovan Peoples-Jones. No one's playing Amari Cooper. And no one's playing Nick Chubb. And the first thing we talked about this slate is that it's awful. We can't even normally we talk about four or five games to stack. We could barely find two.
When do we ever talk about Nick Chubb, bro?
Yeah.
You know, we're like, oh, what about Kareem Hunt? You know, we're like, hey, this is like a no, man. I'm into Chubb.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, one thing on David Bell. He very super prototypical sort of development curve in that first 5 weeks, he's underutilized, barely sees the field. Then, you know, typical second, third round pick who had a good camp starts to get that 50%+ snap share, wins that number three job. He's in there in three receiver sets, 29 routes, 22 routes, 24 routes, 28 routes, 21 routes. Then the thumb injury, he's out after the first quarter. And now he has no injury designation heading into week 14. It's on.
For yeah, David I think Bell I saw
as well. He's going to be in there.
I saw a Schwartz crazy is out stat too, right? That David Bell, I think, out of 200 plus snaps this season, all but one has been in three receiver sets. So he's like exclusively the guy that comes onto the field when they're bringing in that third receiver. But I think that, you know, if Amari Cooper is even just like, oh, hey, coach, like, you know, I need a breather this week and just like has a, you know, not full workload, not to mention the scenario where he misses the game, like this could be a big David Bell breakout for sure.
I also think, and we can move on to maybe everyone's favorite game of the week. I also think he fits in a salary saving situation in a game stack. Matt talked about maybe wanting to prioritize Chase and Higgins a little bit more. You know, Joe Burrow is 7K. If you do want to spend up somewhere else or you want to use Nick Chubb and really just like onslaught this game, it does get a little pricey. Not a lot of, I mean, outside of, I don't think any of us are particularly excited about playing 3K Texans wide receivers against the Cowboys. You know, there's not a lot, or Kendall Hinton, there's not a lot down there. And so he would make sense. He would also make sense in the scenario in which we're outlining the Bengals score a lot of points, right? The Bengals get up multiple. Why is he, you know, he's playing in three wide receiver sets. That's fine if they're losing and they're playing three wide receiver sets, right? He's going to be on the field. So build a team that sets you up for that scenario. Right. Well, that's a, you know, Burrow, Chase Higgins, David Bell, maybe Njoku, DPJ, whatever, however you want to build that team. But he fits that. And I mean, there ain't nobody playing David. There's probably nobody talking about Dave. We spent more time talking about David Bell than anybody else's. But I think these are the guys that do make these game stack conversations a lot more fun because, you know, why would you like people are going to play Philip Dorsett? And it's like, why would you play Philip Dorsett over David Bell, you know, in a Bengal stack?
I mean, I understand it from, you know, a cash game. Typically, you're looking to play more of like a slot receiver just to get, you know, chase the volume, you know, get your 12 points and move on with a punt play wide receiver. That's fine. It's weird, right? That a guy that looks like Philip Dorsett would be that guy, would be a free square wide receiver for cash. And a slot receiver would be more of a tournament play. But actually, that is the case this week, where happy to use Dorsett in cash, want no part of him in tournaments. Where's the upside there? It doesn't exist, right? That's been our whole thesis from week one, that the upside is in the game scenario that could unfold if things break right. That upside doesn't exist with the in the best case scenario game situation. What are you getting from the Texans players? You're not getting enough, right? Getting enough. So get out of here.
Their implied team total is less than 14.
It's stupid. It's just dumb. It's like if you were to play Damian Pierce in tournaments last week, it's just like, dude, hit yourself in the face with a hammer.
It is though the perfect example of most of the Texans from a median projection standpoint, because you have to give production right to a team and they're all so cheap. They all look like, if you point per dollar projection, it's like, you know, there's Philip Dorsett and there's Chris Moore and there's, there's Damian Pierce. And it's like, but as you guys have outlined, as Brad and folks in the chat are outlining, it's like, there is no upside. There is only downside. You cannot win a tournament with those guys because they cannot score enough points as a team. And they're over-owned relative to their ability to win a tournament.
It's the runaway scenario, run and hide scenario of all of fantasy, is that exact thing. That's why we essentially have two optimizers. We have a cash game optimizer on our DFS Dominator package, which looks at median projections. And if you want to do a proper, like, traditional optimization around that for a cash game, please, by all means. But our lineup genius is something totally different. And it's specifically for tournaments.
Mm-hmm. Before we move on to the Vikings-Lions game, excuse me. We don't want to gloss over the fact that Ja'Marr Chase just came back and was totally a monster. Like, I think there was some concern there, like we said, but I think I talked about this last week with that particular injury and the way that he has himself talked about it. I didn't think there was too much concern. And I mean, ran a route on 93% of dropbacks, 8 targets, 97 yards. Like, I think you fire him up confidently once again this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, his 15% ownership is right where I want it. Like, that's perfect. Stay right there, buddy. Right there at 15%. Yep. I'm going to pound that. You're at 15. I'll be at 25. Thank you very much.
100%. Love that. That's perfect. The game that we're going to get to now, which is not going to quite necessarily have the ownership that we like on a lot of guys, but we definitely like a lot of these players in this game, and maybe we will use the lineup genius on this one, is the Lions and Vikings. I definitely think this is the quote-unquote go-to game of the week for a lot of people, rightfully so. There are some interesting things about it, though. The Lions defense has been one we've been attacking all year, and I'm certainly not saying we shouldn't attack it with Justin Jefferson, right? Dalvin Cook, TJ Hockenson, whatever, but they have not been as bad recently for a month and a half as the market maybe seems to think. I'm not sure that projections have caught up to the fact that, so like, I think we talked about it last week. Teams like the Bears are that defense is like maybe the worst in the league right there as one of the worst in the league. The Lions maybe were that. And I'm not sure that they're to that level now. They're not great. You know, mm-hmm. You're not worried about these guys against them,
no.
But I don't think it's the same level of spot once the ownership gets to a certain point. Right. And price, you know, you get Justin Jefferson's price. So I think it's a really fascinating conversation around this game where obviously I like Justin Jefferson. Obviously I like Amon-Ra St. Brown, et cetera, et cetera. But the field does too. And I'm just, you know, on a normal week when we had other pivots, we actually had other games we liked, it would be really easy for me to just say, well, let's just play, you know, Chiefs Bengals or that Steelers Bengals game or whatever. But I struggle with that balancing act of there's not a lot of pivots, but I see reasons for both appeal and maybe a little bit of pessimism in this game.
Amon-Ra, number one projected ownership per Chris Jamino. on Roto Grinders, just like last week, we're looking at, you know, between 22 and 25%. It's a big number. It's a big number.
Yeah, I mean, he was tackled at the 1 yard line twice last week. Like that monster game with two touchdowns could have just as easily been a four touchdown game.
Unbelievable. He's great. We've talked about it. We love him. I love him. But, you know, he's one of the, he's basically got the Terrell Owens mindset, Terrell Owens work ethic, but he's starting from a place with more draft capital, you know, from a major conference program. He doesn't quite have the chip on his shoulder that Terrell Owens had coming out. But he's got a dad that's like programmed him to just be a total monster in the weight room, on the practice field, you know, coming back from this injury that would have cost guys like him more games. It took him 2 weeks to get back online 100%. And now he's one of the top receivers in the league. He's this year's Cooper Kupp. So you're going to play him. It's just that you play him 15% versus the field at 25%. You play Chase 25% versus the field at 15%. I think that's a pretty easy equation to run through, considering they have similar salaries.
Yep, and fairly similar projections. Amon-Ra projects just a smidge higher, but you know, we're talking about very close. What about Dario? What about the rest of the Lions? Matt and I were actually briefly DMing on Sunday because we talked extensively about DJ Chark,
yeah.
last week, man. In particular, we talked about him as a pivot off of, say, a Zay Jones, who at the point in time when Matt and I were DMing, DJ Chark had 99 yards and Zay Jones had goose egg had zero. I think.
Did you guys remember that, guys? Because just so everybody knows, just in case they're just tuning in, Eric, just a little extra context for everybody. Just real quick, if you don't mind. So anyway, kids, last week. It's crazy, and you know, you can go back and look. We have the logs. You can go back. Last week, it was Trevor Lawrence chalk after one good game ever. It was Travis Etienne chalk coming off a foot injury after he lost the entire previous season to a foot injury. And if you don't think that's crazy enough, it was Zay Jones chalk week. That was a thing that happened last week. And it was one of our, you know, signature run and hide scenarios. And I think we can add up the fantasy points. The three of those guys scored on two hands.
pretty much. Yeah.
I mean, what? Listen, kids.
But
here's the thing about Zay Jones chalk.
Yes. DJ Chark did everything last week that we wanted, obviously, except get in the end zone and get one more yard. But like, think about 2 weeks ago, Jared Goff just barely missed him on a long touchdown that he would have had a really nice week. Last week, he is a yard away from the bonus, you know, and Amon-Ra and the running backs score all the touchdowns. Little bounces here and there, and DJ Chark has like back-to-back 20-point weeks, and he is a critical part of people's, you know, plans in stacking the most popular game of the week. But because it just, the ball hasn't bounced perfectly for him, his salary has not come up and his ownership has not come up. He again is my favorite play in this entire game. And so he's either, you know, you can use him as a leverage off of the Amon-Ra's of the world, or if you want to stack this game up and use him in concert with Amon-Ra, I think that's fine because, you know, it's kind of the combinatorial ownership versus raw ownership, right? Amon-Ra is super chalky, but the more you attach on these guys who are maybe not super chalky, you can totally play Amon-Ra. He's a reason why I still really like this game, even though some of the ownership on a couple of guys has me worried.
Mm-hmm. Chark's averaging 100 air yards a game if you just don't count week 11 where he had just the 14% snap share. What the hell?
He's the best tournament play of the slate, right? At this ownership, if we assume this ownership, he just feels like the best tournament play. 5% owned DJ Chark in this game.
Yeah. I never know, man. We sit down for the show some weeks, you know, I'm like, yeah, wow. Golf clap, you know, DFS grinders. You guys got it. You figured it out. You know, good stuff. This week, shark ownership. What?
Yeah, we got to be careful. Otherwise, we're going to cause the shark chalk.
It happened to DPJ, to be fair, a couple of weeks ago. We sat here and DPJ projected for like 5% or something. And
then
we couldn't,
by
we couldn't
Saturday afternoon, it was like 17%.
Yeah, we couldn't stop talking about how good of a play he was. And then, yeah, he was like in cash game lineups by Sunday. But
cash, Chark and cash isn't crazy also.
I don't think so either.
That's not crazy at all. And by the way, I saw what you did, Dario. And you, I saw you setting that up from like 90 seconds away. Chalk,
but
chalk.
Dario,
I get it. I would have done the move if you hadn't.
Talk to us about Chark Chalk. Yeah. Well, we've been getting very punny lately in the last couple of weeks. The season is growing.
Yeah, we're dads. We're
the days are getting shorter.
Bust out the chalk talk.
Yeah, it's dark by the time we start this show here almost, and so it becomes a little slap happy time. But let's talk about the Lions. I think that the Vikings are a smidge more straightforward, a little bit kind of like the last game we talked about. One main superstar and a couple of very straightforward ancillary pieces. Whereas the Lions,
we're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Obviously, Amon-Ra is a superstar, but you kind of have a bunch of other dudes. Chark is like our favorite dude, but you know, you can kind of go about things a few different ways. And this would be the one I'm not saying I want to play him. But if there was a week to play a Jared Goff or a Kirk Cousins, it is this, because there is just really no opportunity cost at the position, right? Relatively speaking, Josh Allen has a tough matchup. Jalen Hurts is definitely opportunity cost. So is Patrick Mahomes, but they're so expensive and the matchups are not, you know, totally perfect. So like I said, if there's a week, this is the best game environment of the slate. But again, let's talk about the Lions a little bit.
Yeah. I think that DeAndre Swift, first of all, at 5,800, like he's a little bit chalky. Sure. 17% ownership is what it looks like right now, but he's like fully back. I mean, last week was his first game off the injury report. He had more carries than Jamal Williams. So I think that like this kind of feels like one of those weeks where Ramondre was below 6,000 and was at 35% ownership, but people are just a little bit scared of DeAndre Swift. And I mean, obviously there's concern with Jamal Williams vulturing a touchdown or two, but Swift has also scored in 3 of the last 4 weeks, you know, just looking at this right here. So I think there's a very good chance you see like a 7-target game for Swift, gets his 10 to 13 carries, 150 all-purpose yards. And if you're lucky, he gets in the end zone twice, and 17% ownership looks like it should have been 40.
Mint it.
I also want to, I'll give credit to Josh Norris from Underdog on this one. The context of Swift versus the Vikings. Here's some running back stats versus the Vikings of late. Tony Pollard, 6 catches for 109 yards and 2 touchdowns. 6 for 109. Ramondre Stevenson, 9 for 76. Ty Johnson plus Zonovan Knight. 11 catches for Ty Johnson and Zonovan Knight. The Vikings, in Josh getting his hand in the dirt, the Vikings play kind of a shell, you know, a two-shell defense, which is just literally inviting these teams to check the ball down to their running backs. And he puts, you know, the little wave emoji, DeAndre Swift. So if you wanted any more Swift propaganda, the matchup is also quite good for a pass-catching back like himself.
And, I mean, the game environment, like, it's obviously the best game on the slate. According to our like next game block that we have on, you know, player pages here at Player Profiler, the Vikings allow the 3rd most points to running backs on the ground and the 7th most points to running backs through the air. Jeez. So I think, I mean, that also kind of gets me thinking about 2% Jamal Williams at the same price. Like, I think that they're both appealing to mix in just a little bit, to be honest with you guys.
I think that's totally fair. One stat I also wanted to ask you guys about was the part of people think about it as like Jamal versus Swift, but a huge part of why neither Jamal or Swift have really like blown the doors off in a weekly ceiling scenario, other than the 3-touchdown Jamal game, is because they always have this third guy, right? It was Craig Reynolds before. Now it is Justin Jackson, just getting 10, 15, 20% of the work every single week, which is like, doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're already splitting with someone else and then you throw, you know, 8, 9 touches to this other dude, it really hurts you. Do you think that there's a scenario in which as Swift gets healthier, that kind of third guy, you know, you see him projected for 4 fantasy points here, goes to like just like almost break glass in case of emergency type situation, and it's really Swift and Jamal? Because I think that would be kind of what like Jamal only played 30% of snaps last week, mm-hmm. and Swift was over 50, and then the rest was to Justin Jackson. Do you think there's a scenario in which like we haven't even seen the upside really of Jamal and Swift because that third guy's stealing so much work?
I think in week 1 DeAndre Swift's snap share was 65%, and then it hasn't been that high all season since. I think that's like the best case scenario that you're looking for. And I don't think that Craig Reynolds or any of these like third backs were involved for the Lions in that week 1 game against the Eagles. So I think that there's a good chance that we see less and less of Justin Jackson. But yeah, I mean, that has been a bit of a thorn in their side lately, for sure.
Lions want to win this game, folks.
Oh, yeah. Kids.
They want to win this game bad. They are in the playoff hunt. And did you know that the Lions have a higher overall DVOA than the Vikings?
They score more points per possession. If you want to dream up an analytic, it is in the favor of the Lions. That's why they're favored. They're favored in the game.
They should be favored. I mean, the mm-hmm. records don't make sense because the Vikings have been running so pure this year, the luckiest team. But this tells me exactly what and look at their defense DVOAs. Their defense DVOAs are both positive, which is bad, right? You want to give up, you want to be negative. You want to give up fewer points than the average. They give up more points, both of them. They both give up at least a field goal more in defense DVOA adjusted, all that stuff, schedule adjusted, all that. So these are relatively bad defenses. You could argue the Lions defense is now it's gotten healthier and better, and they're now a little bit more on the positive side. But we're talking about 2 high octane offenses against 2 subpar defenses, or at least yep. average defenses. It does set up so perfectly, even though there isn't a mobile quarterback that we really love in this game. As Dario mentioned, it hits the notes to hit an over. It's also in Detroit. Everything just feels so right, especially for this Detroit running game. Needing to win, they're going to play Swift. They're going to play Swift a lot. And yeah, Swift is a total smash. Amon-Ra, clearly will be a great play. Just not don't play him at the same level the public is. And then flip that, play Chark at 3x the public. Of course, you're going to want to put in Jefferson wherever it makes sense. Play some Cook where it makes sense. I wish there was, well, we have that, right, in TJ Hockenson. So the addition of Hockenson gives us that third option we can actually get excited about in the Vikings for run back options. It's just that it's how could you play Goff?
Yeah.
It's just so crazy.
And he's chalky. It's really tough. It's really tough for me to come around to that. I understand all the context of the, these two guys are both, I believe, the two highest projected owned quarterbacks.
No.
That's tough.
No. I think that you have to focus on Eric. I think what you got to do is you got to sit down and go, I'm going to skinny stack this game with 2 to 3 players in a lot of my lineups, just not quarterback. I'll do these. I can do micro stacks with Hurts and Brown, with a run back and without, because I'm loading up on the skill positions from this game, skinny stacking this game so aggressively, just without the quarterback. And the reason why I thought, I totally understand what you were saying. You're like, well, Allen, the matchup sucks. And, you know, I looked at the implied points that the Cowboys are getting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God. Yeah.
And I think I found the other quarterback I'm happy to pound in there, in lieu of, you know, a Cousins Goff where, yeah, full fade on Cousins Goff, but aggressively playing this game with correlation, just not quarterback centric correlation.
Which is something we talked about all year, right? How many times have we talked about Lions games, right? Amon-Ra and X.
No, only when Amon-Ra is 100%.
Yeah, right.
We pivoted when we saw Amon-Ra's not right. We go, okay, let's wait till he's right. Now he's right. Boom, we're back.
Yep.
And now we have Swift right.
Multiple pieces. Yep.
We have Swift. Three. Now we have Swift. So it's like not so hot. Okay, now Amon-Ra's right. We're good. Now Swift and Amon-Ra are right. Ding, 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 ding. Yes. But that doesn't mean, as excited as you can get, that doesn't mean you play Goff. Oh, Goff.
Yeah, I like the Burrow. We obviously talked at length about that game. I like, you know, your Burrow stacks alongside these guys. The other thing is, you know, DeAndre Swift gets a lot of his value from pass catching, but it also, like, he scores rushing touchdowns, which directly take away from Jared Goff. If you just happen to get 2 DeAndre Swift rushing touchdowns, you can still have that exact type of lineup that you mentioned, you know, Chark and Swift, Amon-Ra and Swift with a Jefferson or a Cook or a Hockenson or whatever. And Goff is not going to be the guy, right? Goff is not going to be the guy. It's totally fine. Can we talk about the Vikings though? Dario, going to kick this one to you as well, because I don't have much to add other than, you know, the big three basically, which I would call Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook and TJ Hockenson. Are we missing anything at all on the corpse of Adam Thielen or anything like that? I did find it fascinating. At least maybe we should discuss the Lions really shut down Justin Jefferson. It was his worst game of the year. They were, you know, Jeffrey Okuda is covering him, and they're kind of putting a lot of bracket coverage in around him. I was watching some, really getting the hand in the dirt earlier today on Twitter, watching some people post some film, but I thought it was at least mildly interesting to consider, you know, are you just not worried about it? And we're still GM and Jefferson is the top priority. Dalvin, is pretty interesting. Hockenson, Thielen, right. Walk us through the Vikings.
Yeah. I mean, Thielen had 6 catches, 61 yards and a touchdown last time these teams played each other, had 100 air yards in that game, 8 targets. I think that's definitely interesting enough at only 4,900 on DraftKings. I mean, the ownership is probably a little bit higher than I'd want it to be. He's at projecting for 11% right now. But I think that you can sprinkle him in. And we're talking about like building lineups around other quarterbacks and taking a lot of pieces from this game. You can't just afford to take Amon-Ra and Jefferson and then build your Burrow stacks. So I think that Thielen is a good side piece that you're going to want to be mixing in. And I think the other big takeaway I have on this game is the Lions run defense. We talked about the improvement of the Lions defense, the aspect where we haven't seen that improvement is in the run defense. The pass defense has gotten better because the pass rush has really coalesced. Aiden Hutchinson is coming on, and they're getting healthier at the front seven in terms of getting after the quarterback. But in terms of stopping the run, they have not really been able to do that. I think they're still bottom five in EPA allowed on the ground. So I'm kind of more interested in Dalvin Cook just in a vacuum than in Justin Jefferson in particular in this game, I think.
It's crazy. But I will say, this is the classic thing that we always look back on Monday and go, oh, remember all that film we saw on Twitter, though? you yep. can see it coming a mile away.
Mm-hmm.
Jefferson, but with Jefferson, it was the Lions, but the film, I mean, I saw the brackets, I mean. Playing chess.
What about Dalvin? How are you? You know, are you That's splitting thing, it man. Between your Jefferson?
Because you're aggressively playing this in these sort of Cook with, right, and then Jefferson with, and then you're just mixing and matching the whole time. It's just very interesting with Adam Thielen, though. His over under the sports books in a smash spot. Oh. 50.
I'm surprised it's that. I thought it would be even lower than that.
50 yards.
How many times has he gone over 50 yards this year? 50, okay, more
about 50% of the time. I think he's either got Adam Thielen. Either he's either getting 40 yards or 60 yards. He's a 40-60 guy. He's 60-40. Yeah, I think this week he's more 60-40. So I mean, we're playing him a little bit because we think he's more 60-40. But other weeks is 40-60. He's not getting all those. And then now with Hockenson, he's not this red zone monster like he was before either. So that was part of the thesis is like, oh, the two touchdown games are always out there for him. Not really. Not anymore. So fine. Like I said, you're going to essentially allocate 2 to 3 spots in every lineup for this game. Mm-hmm. Knowing that you're pivoting off the quarterback, you're good with it, right? Because you're going to let the chalk flow to those two quarterbacks that you're going to be completely off of. And it lets you kind of be as aggressive as you want, you know, across 2 to 3 slots for this game elsewhere. Yeah. Otherwise,
I mean, like Burrow has less ownership than Kirk and Goff, which is kind of silly.
That's crazy.
And then Chase has less ownership than Amon-Ra St. Brown. And Higgins has less ownership than Justin Jefferson and about the same as TJ Hockenson. Like, I think that, you know, the market's probably going a little bit too crazy on this game.
Yeah, that was kind of my thoughts, too, is like, that's kind of why we kicked off the conversation, factoring some of that in. We do that sometimes.
We often start the show with the theme is like Bengals are undervalued. Let's just start there.
Yeah, and this game is at best appropriately valued, and probably at worst. One thing I will say,
right. it's like it's being drafted at its ceiling.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, how do you construct the team with Amon-Ra and Justin Jefferson and whatever, and DeAndre Swift, and win a tournament? You know what I mean? Now you have to really. Now you're going to really have to sink your teeth into something crazy off the board. Mm-hmm. Because you play the Millie Maker or something, how many people are going to have, how many thousands of teams are going to have those? That's why Chark makes sense to me. That's why when you mentioned Dalvin, I really like Dalvin. It's like, mm-hmm. I like the game environment too. How do I get access to this game environment without chopping GPPs on a 10 game slate?
That's why Dario likes Dalvin, dude.
He's
the path.
One last thing on this game. The folks have been mentioning, Alex says, sounds like a spot for Michigan native, bringing in the old narrative street. KJ Osborne and Brad also likes a little bit of Osborne. I don't really have a comment on Osborne. I'll let you guys, if you want to yay or nay him. But
didn't Osborne go to Miami?
I thought he went to Miami, but maybe he's from Oh, we're about to
geez, yeah, I'm guessing that would be his, like,
they're going to like where his hometown and, is and shit.
Yeah, friends and family game. Friends
oh
and family
my
game.
God, friends and family.
The Gronk
in
Buffalo narrative.
God,
he is from. Yep, I don't. It's YPS. I never heard of a town that starts with those three letters in a row. Y Ypsilanti. Ypsilanti,
oh, is that
Michigan.
Like in the peninsula?
I don't know. We're about to find. I'm oh, about man. To learn all
he
about.
He hasn't been relevant for DFS since week three against Detroit. So the last time he faced Detroit, he was the guy. 131
oh
air yards, eight
was he really?
Targets.
He was.
Yeah. So I no, that is the narrative. I get it. But I also get why people are gonna talk themselves out of Justin Jefferson and feel really bad about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's had. KJ Osborne has had one game over 40 air yards since week four.
Yeah.
So
he didn't do anything with that. That was Buffalo. That was a tricky spot for him. But yeah, four, I yeah. mean, you could, what's the salary? His salary is
cheap.
Very cheap. $3,500. So yeah, you're going to play some KJ.
You're probably going to play him ahead of like Philip Dorsett, but definitely don't play him ahead of.
That's a great point, right? We would probably rather have Bell. Because
yeah,
Bell
I was going to say
Rivers. I mean, we'll see. I mean, Bell could totally change. If this hip injury turns the wrong way, I mean, Bell's going to be. Pff,
yeah.
Forget, I mean,
very different story.
That's going to annoy me. But I like Bell regardless. So if Cooper even plays, I still like Bell better than Osborne.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Ypsilanti is where Eastern Michigan University is.
Ah,
yes. Anybody was curious. And no,
I'm sure Eastern Michigan was devastated they didn't get him.
Yeah, exactly. He went to IMG. I didn't realize he went to the football factory. But 40, I mean, just you know, take your bracket coverage takes, add it to the fact that KJ Osborne's got all the fam and friends, his boys. His boys are coming. I'm telling you.
Oh, wow.
Now we got it all. We got it all here. The Twitter
bracket. This is the makings of a 2-for-12. I mean, have you ever?
This is Justin Jefferson 202 and KJ Osborne 4 targets for 2 catches and yeah.
2-for-12. I mean, I hate that I've been around so long.
Yeah, that is exactly what happens. Let's talk though. I think we kind of wrapped this one up. I think I'm glad we talked like kind of as long as we did about those first two games, because I think they're the priority and I think they're difficult to kind of figure out what to do for different reasons. You know, the Deshaun Watson factor and Burrow can be difficult to pick, whether it's both guys, one guy, Boyd, whatever. And the second one with kind of the ownership and everything and the quarterbacks being guys we never want to play. I'm glad we talked through those guys. Let's talk through though, a couple of the other spots a little bit more quickly that, whether we want to stack those games or kind of, you know, solo stack a Dak to CD and then figure out the correlations around it with those first two games. I think that's probably what we're going to do, right, with these other games is a Dak CD stack with the other games surrounding it. Do you want to pull up the lineup genius for this, Dario?
Yeah,
this
let's do it.
Great for the lineup genius because we can turn up the correlation. There's a correlation setting. We'll pick Dak with some stacking partner, probably CeeDee Lamb, maybe even Tony Pollard.
Yeah, and, I think that.
And then we can pick someone from the Lions game.
Yep.
And
ratchet
up
the correlation.
That'll force a run back on for both players.
Yeah. So you guys, let's do CeeDee Lamb for starters and Swift.
Swift Chase.
I like it. Let me find.
Because that will force a Brown and it will force a Viking. And those were the two teams we were kind of like, we like guys, but we're not as totally honed in on one. Mm-hmm. Right.
And then we'll leave the running back and tight end stacks on because I'm fine with Schultz or Pollard or Zeke. I think Zeke and Pollard both probably find the end zone multiple times in this game.
I mean, this should be the old like high school name your score match. You know, the 9-0 team playing the 0-9 team or whatever.
Yeah. So the optimizer picked up Cook. We had locked in Swift and Chase
and Hawk,
Gallup,
Nico
Collins.
Out, right? I think Nico's out. Yeah.
Oh, he's been ruled out.
I think so. Let me double
check.
He
was.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that's why Dorsett, dude. That's why do you think we were talking about Dorsett earlier?
I mean, I just thought we were talking about Dorsett because he was the number two receiver with Nico last week with Cooks hurt.
Collins is not going to play.
Oh, geez.
No, he is out. Neither is Derek Stingley. I didn't realize Derek. Jesus.
Go back. You can go back to the settings, Dario. And
yeah. We'll exclude.
Collins will not play. He's not expected to play per Aaron Wilson from KPRC.
He is one of their main beat writers.
I know. Yeah. Aaron Wilson. I recognize that name as one of the more trusted beat reporters from the Houston Texans. Not all of them that report on Houston are that trustworthy. I'll just say that.
What situation made you figure that has happened with the Texans over the last couple of years made you figure?
Some of them are full of it.
All right, this is a pretty nice looking lineup here, right? You get Gallup is officially back. It was really kind of a bummer that he smashed off the main slate because I feel like he's one of those guys that we've been touting up as like he's been back for a few weeks now. It was only a matter of time. He got the two touchdowns in a Sunday night game. Isaiah Pacheco making it in here. We love to see it.
You know what the RB2 is? I mean, I know Pacheco could be the RB2. You could flip those and put a receiver in there if you want. That's fine. You can also, in the settings, you can say what you want in flex. So you could take the running back out of flex if you want. That's another set. So we have that all set up. But I just want to say, RB2, I don't care. Like, we should just have a slot. We should have another setting that's like RB2, I don't care. It doesn't. I don't care. When I see Murray in there, I love it. I love it. When I RB2, I just want to keep. I want to be dirty. I'm like, be dirty. Just get in the muck. Just slather myself with mud. You know what I mean? RB2, fucking slap me. I don't care. Slap me like you mean it.
Well, that's I'm glad you're saying that because the two running backs I have tagged are in a game. Maybe we'll touch on very briefly. Out in Seattle. Little Travis Homer and Donta Foreman action jamming those guys into lineups is going to feel really, really fun.
DJ Dallas going to play?
I don't. The last I heard is DJ Dallas no, Ken Walker no, Travis Homer yes.
Oh God. I ran.
That
I
sounds
ran,
a lot I, like I the wrong Kenyon guy waivers, Drake.
God damn it. Secret,
sneaky chalk yeah, that turned into yeah. like 1 point oh, yeah. a couple weeks ago.
Travis Homer is going to be the Kenyon Drake 100% in that game.
Listen, if you're DJ Dallas, I just want to say this, okay? For all NFL players, listen, I think that you guys are super brave, courageous. You are gladiators. I wouldn't do it, right? I would be worried about my brain matter leaking out of my ear. After the first hit. So nothing but respect. And I certainly would not inject myself with the Toradol and some of these painkillers in order to play. That they do that is, you know, one of the sort of a signature, most respectful things that I think in all of sports that it probably shouldn't be part of the culture at all. But the fact they're doing it, it's just like, you know, the brutality of like the samurai, like back in the day, you got to respect that shit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. DJ Dallas was like almost immediately ruled out
with
after
DJ
he was ankle,
Dallas.
Right? And
I
he
would
came
tell
back
him, I would
right
put my
away.
Arm around him and I'd be like, whatever it fucking takes to play, get out there. This is your shot, dude. This is your Eminem 8 mile shot. Right? Lose yourself. Fucking shoot that ankle up. I would be out there no matter what. If I'm deep, because it's like, how many opportunities? The guy is, he's his career is hanging on. Ken Walker goes down and then to hurt your ankle after. Oh, it's just, yeah, I would do everything. If there was one excuse that you would make, like, listen, normally I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to take the needle. I'm not going to, you know, or I'm not going to subject myself to a potential re-injury. When your career is on the line, I would do, you know, that would be the one case where, you know, if I would be like, you know what? I see it. I can see it. I can see just going all the way. With Homer, the problem is he's not going to get any kind of full snap share. DJ Dallas at least could be a workhorse.
I think the most inefficient back in the history of the NFL, Tony Jones, is probably going to be involved regardless.
Hate that so much.
Yes, I know.
Agreed. Hate that. Oh, my God.
I just want to add in, I'm looking at literally like 6 minutes ago, the Seahawks official injury report came out. both DJ Dallas and Ken Walker are questionable, but they have neither has practiced at all this week. Travis Homer does not have a injury designation.
And, they're not playing.
And interestingly, you mentioned Amari popped up with a hip issue. DK Metcalf also popped up with a hip issue and is questionable. I'm just assuming he's going to play, but that's at least mildly interesting. And mm-hmm. Will Disley is also questionable. So a lot of shit going on out there in Seattle, and kind of similar to the Amari thing, some of those guys, you know, drastically change the slate depending upon who plays, doesn't play, whatever.
I think Geno popped up on the injury report. I think
we're lucky, though. In some ways, we're lucky.
Yeah.
Because you don't really want to play Homer or Jones. Right?
You never want to play Jones.
I don't want to play half the look at the games we're talking about here this week. I don't want to play any of these guys.
No, but sometimes it happens. Like, if Dallas were healthy, and like I said, I wish he was. It's too bad he's not, right? Then it would change things dramatically. Right. But if it's not Dallas, I'm not interested. Right. I could see you dabbling on Homer. I understand why in PPR, full PPR on DraftKings. I understand that. We don't play people like Tony Jones. I just want everyone to know that.
Absolutely. Absolutely not. I do kind of like that game. Maybe we can briefly touch on that one for just 2 minutes after we're done with this this exercise. Do we want to look at any more DAC teams, or do you want to look at any of these Josh Allen?
While we're here, yeah, I want to emphasize, like, to people, you can play these elite these three elite quarterbacks right here. They're all at lower ownership than we usually see them. I mean, I remember Josh Allen the first time he played the Jets a few weeks ago. Obviously, we saw that it didn't go well, but he was still much chalkier going into that matchup than he is this week. And I think that he's still like freaking Josh Allen, you know, like, so I think you can build a Josh Allen stack and, you know, force in, let's put a receiver in the flex here. And then, you know, we'll force in the stacks with Allen, who were some other pieces we talked about, like get Higgins and maybe Dalvin in here.
Chark.
I like Chark.
Chark for sure. Yeah, baby. Yeah, no, my larger point with DJ Dallas was that even if he does play, I don't trust it. If he didn't practice all week, I'm not gonna play him, because who knows what he did to get on the field, knowing that, you know, like you said, and he's not right. He doesn't have the same level of push off the ankle, doesn't have the same explosiveness, could leave the game early again, re-aggravate. Mm-hmm. So even if you get up for that game because you feel like you need to be out there because you're playing for your next contract, that happens in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But whenever a guy misses all 3 days of practice, I'm out.
Yeah.
There's a famous
thing. Both of those guys be questionable after not practicing all week is the most Pete Carroll thing I've ever heard.
I hate that. 100%. Yes, I know. God damn it, Pete.
He knows they're not playing. He knows they're not playing. What he's probably doing is that old school pressure style. I'm going to make you questionable. You guys warm up and see how you feel. He knows that they're not going to be able to play, and they're going to see if they can shoot him up and get out there.
I know.
You can't make the club in the tub, right? It's a world, you know, it's a famous saying. You can't make the club in the tub. And so people fight through bullshit injuries that they shouldn't play through because their career, their life is,
fucking wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah, I think, like, for example, something like this where you're getting 20% total ownership between Allen and Gabe Davis, who those two guys can single-handedly carry you, and then you get super loaded on the Bengals, get your little correlation in this Lions-Vikings game with Hawkins.
I like Chark-Hawk, yep.
Like,
oh, yeah.
I think this is the way to play this slate.
You
could even go back and take out Boyd if you don't like that matchup, because there's very few slot.
I mean, this is the same lineup who
Boyd's going to be facing. Then you can just go ahead and say, you know what, I don't want any Boyd. I'm going to fade Boyd this week for multiple reasons, and you can put him in the X column.
Yeah, Swift and Knight feels so nice, and I mean, it's hard for me to believe that his ownership is still this low when it's been said he's still going to be the starter. He's getting a lot of passing down work. I think Matt Milano is questionable this week. That Bills defense is a lot less scary.
Von Miller's out
for the year. Matt Milano, linebacker. Yeah, Von Miller as well, obviously.
Is that, are you guys kind of making that assumption with Zonovan
here? Oh yeah, we're in on Zonovan.
Okay.
Oh, we're big time in on Zonovan. But this is exactly what we're talking about. Dak Gallup, Allen McKenzie, you know, Allen Davis, these like micro stacking with the big, hairy, mobile quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then getting actually more salary exposure to Lions, to Vikings, other. Just not via the quarterback position.
Yeah, like look at this. We get Thielen, Chark, Swift, along with Higgins, Chase. Like this is, I mean, that's five of our lineup spots in the two games we spent the whole show talking about. And then Josh Allen, like Dawson Knox is just like probably the cheapest weapon you can pair with Josh Allen, is why the optimizer went there. And then, like we said, Zonovan Knight.
Well, would you manually change one of Higgins or Chase? Is it a thing to, would you play Higgins and Chase without Burrow? Is that a thing anyone would want, or is that a rule of thumb violation?
I would not probably do that. Just because what they need to do to win you that tournament at those prices, it's hard for me to see not wanting Joe Burrow.
I would maybe swap, if you could swap Chase for Brown.
I think you could do Mixon and one of them without Burrow, because right. You know, oh, yeah, runs, sure. Runs for touchdowns, yeah. Right? Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, no, I think Brown's great because then you're also getting some exposure to Hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was trying to see if we can get up to fun. Diggs. I think we're about like $300 off of Diggs right here.
You can swap a defense or something. Maybe not.
Panthers defense.
Yeah.
And then you get Diggs.
I like it. Isn't it crazy?
DFS is fun, guys.
This is a fun. I'm glad.
We could do this exercise with Hurts and Mahomes too. I think that's the beauty of the slate.
Yeah, but, that Allen, the defense doesn't matter against Allen. The defense doesn't matter against Mahomes. The defense doesn't matter against Hurts. So, and tons of implied points for Prescott. And then we like Watson, Burrow, and those are your quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They all happen to be the most expensive. Oh, well.
Right, yeah, you know,
some weeks Kirk. We're telling you, hey, play some Pickett. Some weeks we're telling you, hey, play some Mike White. I don't see it this week.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, no. I think you can keep Cousins and Goff out of your quarterback pool entirely, because we don't get very many slates with Allen, Hurts, and Mahomes all taking chalk away from each other.
And they're not even. They don't even need to do that, dude. Yeah. Everyone's playing the two quarterbacks we hate playing.
And Burrow, yeah, you can. I think you could play those five, six quarterbacks right there, and I think you could probably sprinkle a little Geno. Honestly, like if those running backs are all right, if Travis Homer is gonna and Tony Jones Jr. or whatever, if they're gonna score, assuming DK Metcalf does play, maybe Will Disley doesn't play, then you get a little Noah Fant action.
I like that route better. I just, you know, we don't like it when teams play like the Panthers. It's just
no.
It's such a. I don't like Geno this week because of the even at home. And now you're losing any like sort of breakaway runs in the passing game from Kenneth Walker. Those are no longer an option. Now we have DK on the injury report.
Yeah.
There's just little, you know what I mean? Like I feel like I'm getting signals from on my satellite dish from, you know, external space. And it's like, doot, doot, doot. And it's like, don't. But yes. Yes to Fant. Yes, yeah, I like to Fant. A singular Fant, a singular Lockett.
I think it's a good game for two things. I'd say, I just would like if people are gonna play. We've been playing Geno as like a cash game quarterback for like most of the year. He's still at the same price, mm-hmm. and we're gonna play Jared Goff as chalk over Geno Smith. It's like if I need the 6K quarterback, I'm not playing Jared Goff and Kirk Cousins. I would rather play, you know, Geno to Lockett or Fant.
Even
or whatever.
Geno has the Q tag. You know what, Pete Carroll? Go to hell. Go to hell. You know what? Like,
I like that game.
What a jerk.
I like that game for secondary type. Again, like your fillers, Fant. I like Donta Foreman, right?
Fant Foreman, you know, is a cool one. That's your RB2. I don't care RB2. When we talk about I don't care RB2, you want to get down and dirty? That's what we're talking about with Donta Foreman.
Yeah.
And then you get Noah Fant.
The matchup is really good for Foreman. The Seahawks run defense has not been anything special this year.
I think we got it, folks.
I think we got it.
I was going to say this shit out.
I was playing around with some Mahomes here in the background.
I liked the last thing I was going to say is, as you started to go through Allen, Mahomes, Hurts, etc., it's fascinating that we kind of stumbled across this lineup construction, because all of the, mainly the secondary weapons for all of those guys are cheap. Gabe Davis is $5,300. Dawson Knox is $3,800. Isaiah McKenzie is cheap. Devonta Smith. Hurts only throws to
Juju
two guys. Juju is $5,600. MVS is free.
2.4%.
These, like, right, so Kelce is expensive. AJ Brown's expensive. You know, Diggs is expensive. But everyone else on those elite offenses with elite quarterbacks is cheap. Jalen Hurts only throws to two guys without Dallas Goedert. And Quez is out now. Quez is hurt. Like, the,
oh,
the,
God,
the,
wow.
The, you know, there's Devonta Smith, cheap. Gabe Davis, cheap. Juju, cheap. All these, you can get access to them and play our games that we spent, you know, an hour talking about. I think it makes too much sense.
Yeah, I agree with, like, this is, I mean, this is pretty nice looking here to me.
That's fun. Yeah, look, there's Devonta. You get Jefferson. We, I mean, swap out Zay for our guy Chark. and you know, we move on.
Or even Gallup or other things.
Gallup. Like Gallup,
this is too. The, by the way, now that everyone has had their hand slapped away on Zay Jones, now you can go back to him.
Yeah, 100%.
Happy to go back to him.
Titans, it's a good matchup for Zay Jones. Let's wrap with what we always wrap with. And I'm really interested. Normally, I have an idea of what you guys are going to say. And I think we're all on the same general thesis of the slate. But the one thing that you know that you have to jam into tournament lineups this week, right? What's the conviction play? What's the, could be an individual player, could be, you know, a little correlation or whatever. What's the one thing that you got to jam into tournaments? Dario, we will start it with you.
I think it's Ja'Marr Chase. Plain and simple. Like, stud, he, you know, he had a pretty good game last week, but he didn't, you know, blow the doors off anyone. He didn't grab the fantasy world's, you know, entire attention. But I think this is a very good week for him to do that. Like you said, Matt, the Bengals secondary, or sorry, the Browns secondary, a lot better in the slot than out wide. And the Bengals offense has been humming while Ja'Marr Chase was out. I think this is kind of reminiscent of, you know, the Cowboys offense figuring out what they need to do because Cooper Rush was in, and then getting Dak back, and they're, you know, super loaded. And I think this is a similar deal. The Bengals offense figured out what they needed to do. Now they're getting their best weapon back. I think it's this week is a very good week for Ja'Marr Chase to have, you know, 150 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah, I think you monopolize all the expensive quarterbacks this week. You let the public go bang their heads against the wall with those Lions and Vikings pocket passers, and you crumple, you take recency bias, especially last week's game, Cleveland Houston, crumple that up, throw it away. And the guy that we've always been wanting to play, we've been talking about playing him for 13 weeks. This is the moment. He faces Cam Taylor-Britt on the outside. He's in that George Pickens role in the exact same spot where Pickens should have gone completely nuclear. It is Donovan Peoples-Jones. This is what you call conviction, Eric.
Oh, now we're talking. I'm going to add on to that. We're basically building a lineup for you here with three different things. You make sure you get your Ja'Marr Chase and you get your DPJ on the other side. You, as Matt said, monopolize those elite quarterbacks. And you don't need to fade, full out fade, the Lions-Vikings game. You can use our guy, DJ Chark, and go. Matt said, who cares about RB2? Let's get that not super highly owned running back on the other side of DJ Chark against the Lions pass defense in Dalvin Cook. That's your way to play that Lions Vikings game with everything these two fellas said here. Put that all together, throw it in your optimizer, and spit out your 150 teams. And that's how you win. That's how you win this week. I'm really glad we figured this out, because an hour and a half ago, I really didn't know what I wanted to do.
Pencils
with this
down.
Slate. Yeah, exactly. Pencils down. I'm good. I'm ready to rock and roll for Sunday. So that'll do it for Matt, for Dario, of course, for Steve behind the scenes. We will see you guys next week in week 15.